I'm sure the pastors in this place would know that sometimes you've preached and you're preaching to you. And so maybe I'm preaching to me today. I don't know, but I hope it'll be for more than me. And so with that, I wanted to share with you that I'm a pastor at heart. So this message I have is a simple message. You've heard the stories that I'm going to be talking about. But years ago, when I was first starting out, I was going to be an evangelist, and I was going to travel America. And, man, I'm telling you, watch out, Billy Graham. I was going to show him how to get it done. And at camp meeting, they would let evangelists come up. Any of y'all remember that? And you'd tell them what your itinerary was. And, well, man, I was so excited. I'm a young preacher. I got up there, told them, I'm available, because I didn't have a booking one, but I was an evangelist getting ready to burn it up. And so, you know, it's one thing to be called to be an evangelist. It's another thing for someone to call you. And so it didn't take me long to find out I must be barking up the wrong tree, because evangelism, it didn't happen. I wasn't getting phone calls. And anyway, but in my heart, I knew I was a pastor. My wife and I, we had a period of time, and I'm not going to go into all of it, but we had a period of time where we got into gospel music, and we traveled in that for 11 years. And God, everything we touched, honestly, if we touched it, it turned to gold. And we were on the fast track moving up. Nashville contract, and things were going good, but in my heart, I was a pastor. We were winning souls. I couldn't tell you how many souls were getting saved each year, but in my heart, I was a pastor. And then finally, we got locked in into pastoring, and we have been there now for over 44 years. And God has blessed us, and I hope someone will understand my zeal was to work for God, but sometimes in our zeal, we might be on a little bit of a path that isn't right where God wants you to be. You keep seeking until you know you are fulfilled. And when you're fulfilled, then God can bless that fulfillment. So I'm preaching to you today as a pastor, and I hope that you'll receive it that way. I'm not trying to tell you that I am the all-knowing pastor and that that I have got all the answers, because I do not. But I am telling you, I know the one who does have the answers. Amen. So would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. In verse 19, I wanted to tell you a couple of things as a pastor, just before I get into the message. As a pastor, I have people come to me with some, what I feel like is a common thing. Oftentimes, they are feeling defeated because they have highs and lows. Is everyone here always on a high? And I'm going to tell you, I am a pretty even-keeled guy. And some years back, I was not very sympathetic to people who had highs and lows. I didn't understand it, because I never experienced it. When people would get down, you know, my response was, come on, suck it up. You know, be a man. Be a woman. Cut that junk out. And I just want to tell you, that was calloused. Well, honestly, that was ignorance. And so God opened up a window. I really believe God did this. He opened up a window of time of about 6 months where I went through depression. I'd never experienced it. I'd preach the gospel while I was preaching. I'd feel like, my gracious, thank God, it's off of me. When the anointing would lift off of me after that service, I would be so bottomed out. And so I wanted to say that to let you know that we have highs and we have lows. After about 6 months, that thing left me, and it hasn't come back on me. But I have been able to help people because I understand that feeling. Understand how low you can feel. Then I have a guy that came to me, and he said, "Pastor, I hate my ex-wife. I want bad things to happen to her, and I'd like to be the one who got to do the bad things to her." He was living in a cardboard box. He had lost his life savings. She had destroyed him. And I said, "Well, why don't we call her up and throw a party?" He said, "What? That woman has destroyed my life. I don't want to throw a party for her." I said, "Then you're normal." Did you just catch that? He's normal. Now, I said, "You got to get the hate out of your heart. But I don't like her and I've never met her." I don't like people to destroy other people's lives. But yet still, once I validated him that, hey, this emotion I'm feeling is a real emotion. You and I are humans, and somehow when we become Christians, we feel like that if we have human emotions, then all of a sudden we are flawed and sinful. You're not sinful because you have an emotion. God didn't give us emotion to punish us for that. And so I want to come to you. Sometimes people come to me and they say, "I just feel empty. I feel empty." Well, here's a news bulletin. Listen, this bishop at some point is going to feel empty. You can't keep putting out and not putting back in without sometime. And sometime by accident, we put out more than we take in, so we start feeling empty. If you're working with youth, if that doesn't empty you, then my Lord, you're Superman. But pastoral work will empty you. Ministry will empty you. That's okay. But just make sure that you understand you've got to put back. You've got to put back in. Now, let's get to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. And this is a beautiful passage of Scripture. And it simply says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Now, if I said amen, we could go home right now and say, that was enough. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Most of the time we read that scripture and we think, my God shall give me money. And if that's all the need you have, then you're living pretty good. Because sometimes we're going to need some emotional help. Sometimes we're going to need something more than a pocket full of money. Amen. Father God, let us leave here full, running over. Let us know, dear God, that we may have times of emptiness, but you are the provider. In Jesus' lovely and precious holy name, amen, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. I have admired this. Do y'all know what this is called technically? This is called the Money Maximus tree. I have one planted in my yard at South Carolina. had to get one because when my daughter was coming up, she wanted money all the time. And I asked her, do you think money grows on trees? And she did. So I got one of those. And, you know, I just, when I needed something, I'd go pick me a $10 bill and tell my wife, my wife and daughter, go get it. If y'all don't have one, we have some seeds and they only cost $100 each. No. Oh, my Lord. My daughter would say, I want something. We'd tell her we didn't have it. And she would tell my wife, just write a check. You know, she just didn't understand that it didn't just grow on trees. The Bible tells us a story that I'm sure all of you are familiar with. But a man by the name of Elijah had seen the wickedness that was going on in 1 Kings chapter 16. It says, well, I'm not going to read it all. I'm just going to list out the sins that Asa, king of Judah, began. Or Ahab, rather. In the sight of the Lord, he had committed more sin and did more evil than all that was before him. He walked in sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He went and served Baal. He reared up an altar for Baal. And he had built that in Samaria. And Ahab also made a grove. And the Bible says he did more to provoke God than all of the kings of Israel. He did more to make God angry than all of the kings of Israel before him. So here's a man that now Elijah comes and he pronounces judgment on this king. He doesn't just pronounce judgment on the king. He pronounces judgment that is going to affect everybody, including himself. Listen to this. He comes and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He shut the heavens up. He shut the dew from coming up. At his word. Now, that's a whole nother sermon, but you're talking about power with God. That is power with God. Now, what was significant about that is, see, he was speaking this because they had turned to Baal. Baal was recognized as the God who controlled the clouds and the rain. And Elijah comes here and says, I'm going to show you who really is boss. You think Baal is, but at my word, my God is going to stop not only the clouds and the rain, he's even going to stop what is coming up out of the ground. I just want to tell you that at that point, God was showing that he controlled the elements, the clouds, and the rain. There became a serious effects of the drought. Devastation to the land. Streams were drying up. Fields and trees were withering. And the people were just devastated by what was going on. Elijah and his friends and his family were caught in the same effects as everybody else. Now, I want you to catch this. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. Elijah pronounced it, and it even affected him. Just because someone in your family, is having a rough time or you're having a rough time, it doesn't mean that you're a sinner. Come on, y'all help me here. I heard a preacher one time, and man, he was declaring, if you get sick, you've got sin in your life. People were shouting and praising God. And then in a little bit, he said, now, when I moved here, I went to my doctor and I got my records and brought them with me. And I was like, well, you must be planning on sinning. Yeah. So now God says to Elijah, I'm honoring what you've said, but you're in a heap of trouble. And so he told him to go and hang out at a brook called Cherith. Now, Cherith, it actually meant separation. Israel was in a wicked condition, and Elijah, in essence, was separating from impurity. How many of you know that sometimes we might have to step away from some friends? We might have to step away from some situations and make sure that we are not dabbling in impurity, because impurity is going to bring problem in your life. And so God says, you're going to drink water from this brook. And so he is controlling the brook. And then he said, I have commanded the ravens that they will bring you meat and bread in the morning and meat and bread in the evening. Now, I think it's pretty cool that a bird comes delivering a meal. Have you ever wondered where the bird got the meal? Have you ever thought about, I'm just wondering if God didn't have some little old wonderful cook over here, and God would just touch them and say, just make another little cake and put another little piece of meat over here. And then he anointed this bird to swoop down and pick up the bread, pick up the meat, and fly over and drop it off at the very location where the man of God is. I just want to tell you, it's amazing that an old scavenger bird, a raven, was so obedient to God, and yet still so many Christians, they argue and fight with God all the time. But isn't it amazing that some way, somehow, every day they were getting bread and they were getting meat, and Elijah, he had it made. There was a famine going on, but he was getting curbside service. In fact, it was probably kind of exciting, you know, in the morning. What am I going to get today? At night, I can't hardly wait. You know, that's how it's been since I've been up here. I can't hardly wait for, I mean, they just keep outdoing themselves. And I imagine Elijah is there. My gracious, look at the God I'm serving. He shut up the clouds. The dew is not coming. And here I am. I've got water. I've got meat. I've got bread. Bring it on, God. I can do this the rest of my life. But then the brook dried up. Have you ever been in that place where everything was going wonderful and God couldn't be better? Oh, I serve the greatest God in the world. I'm driving a nice vehicle. I got good clothes. I've got, man, it could not get better. And then when something happens, I don't know why you treat me like you treat me, God. I've done all this for you, and you let me get a hangnail. Oh, yeah, we'll complain if everything isn't perfect. You know, they're driving a bigger car than me. They've got a bigger church than me. They've got more than I do, and I'm working harder, and they are getting more blessing. And I just want to tell you, sometimes God will dry up the brook because he's got another plan for you. Now, man, if I had about a week, I'd like to preach on how many times my brook dried up. And I want to just be transparent how many times I whined and complained about how God was doing it. And then when God turned the situation around, oh, I would go back to him and say, I want you to forgive me for all that junk I said. You really are a smart God. You really do know what's going on. You really are smarter than me. Have you ever been there? Yeah. Amen. Well, here's the situation. The brook dries up. And then God tells him to go into the city. I love humor. I'm a cut up. I love having fun. If you're around me, we're going to have fun. If you don't like fun, you don't like me. Because we're going to party. Life is too short not to party. My wife asked me years ago, she said, are you ever going to grow up? And I said, I have no plans on doing that anytime soon. Yeah. I believe I got a witness right there. So now God tells him, the brook's dried up. You go into the city. Arise, get thee to Zarephath. And I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So I want you to get this picture. Elijah now is leaving, and he is walking for about 100 miles. This isn't a short trip. Now, he was a man of God, but it wasn't like this. There's the great man of God. There's our bishop, Bishop Mike White. Let's give him honor. Let's invite him into our home. No, this is the cat that shut the heavens up. We don't have water. We're in a famine. You let me get my hands on him. I tell you, I'd like to beat the tar out of him. I wish I had my chance at him. Elijah, he wasn't able to walk around like a free man. He was walking around going, oh, Lord God, how do I get there? I don't know if someone's going to jump out and beat me. They didn't like him. Now, pastors, we're not all going to be like the TV evangelist that everybody loves. Because we're preaching a real gospel. Let that sink in a minute. It's real easy for me to tell you, yea, saith God, if you'll send me $50, God is going to give you a new Cadillac. If you will send me, just right now, I heard one evangelist, he said, don't mail in postcards. You can't put money in a postcard. It's real easy if I'm given a happy message, but sometimes we have to tell people what is wrong. We have to tell people that there is sin. Listen, Brother Roy did a fantastic job last night on telling us about how we must be the people that really worship in spirit and in truth. But we do that by doing things right. So he finally gets there. And I want you to get, when he sees the widow, he gets there and she is looking for two sticks. She finds the two sticks, but the man of God, when he approaches her, he said, I want you to get me a little bit of water and a morsel of bread. Okay. So this mighty woman of God, are y'all with me on here? She was a Gentile. It stopped her in her tracks. What did you just say? You want water? And you want bread? She said, as your God lives, somehow she knew him, I don't have but a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil, and I'm going to find two sticks and I'm going to make enough fire to cook that little bit of meal and that oil and put it together. And after myself and my son eats that little bit of meal, then we're going to die. And she had already resolved, this is my last meal. I'm going to die. And I just found it very interesting how Elijah responded to her. He comes back with this. He says, well, do what you're going to do, but go get me a little piece of cake and some water. If you want to eat and die, go ahead, but make sure you bring me a little cake and some water. Now, this woman gets to the, y'all just follow with me here. This woman gets to this place where she either can cook or not cook. She can give or not give. Have you ever been to the place where God said, give? And you were telling him every reason that you could think of or probably excuse why not to do it. Jackie and I were in college, and we had come home to Charleston one weekend, and we were just having a great time. I was in church, and while I was there, we didn't have much money. I promise you that. We were college students, but we had enough to put gas in the car to get back to Charlotte, North Carolina, and we were going to get a hamburger. And so I was all excited about that. We were good. And while I'm sitting there, God has to mess up my whole church service. He said, give everything you got. I was like, I can't give everything I got. I've got to get back home. And also, I got to get a burger. Did you not know that I have to have a hamburger before I can drive back? Are y'all with me here? Y'all help me out. You ever had God tell you something and you argued, but you knew that you had to do it anyway? Come on. So I gave the money. And the rest of the service, I don't know what the preacher preached. I don't know what the singer sung. I was like, why in the world did you do that? Now how am I going to get home? And who am I going to bum some money off of? So now I am checking out the crowd. Who can I bum money off of? Y'all are with me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Come on. So church gets over. And a person walks up, they shook my hand, and you could tell it was money, and I put it in my pocket. And a little bit, another person came, and they were crying, and they said, while church was going on, God told me to come over here after church and give you something. And listen, we left with more money than we started out with. Isn't it amazing how God has it planned? But I had to give before I got. Oh, y'all help me here. Sometimes we're put in a spot where, what am I going to do? Am I going to give it? And it's not just all the time money. Sometimes you're over there helping some widow, helping a shut-in, helping a nasty, smelly, homeless person. Listen, I've had people in my car that stunk my car up so bad, I had to fumigate my car. Nasty, nasty, nasty. But they were a soul. They were a soul. It was important. And so this woman had a choice. Do I cook or do I not cook? And she decided to cook. So now she has put her faith into action. And so in a little bit, she comes to this point and God begins to supply. Listen what happens. The man of God says, you go and do what I told you to do. And every time that you look into the oil vat, there will be oil. And every time you go for meal, there will be meal. Something that I read this story many, 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 many times, and I always just focused in on the widow and her son. But the Bible says that her family and her friends. So I just want you to get a picture here. Her son, I don't know how old he was, but I want you to get a picture that it would come time and he had a little friend over. And mama, do you think my friend could stay over? And she'd go and open up. She said, yes, son, we got plenty. Mama, I see uncle coming and aunt coming and all my cousins coming. What we gonna do? And she looked over and she said, oh, we can handle it. I just want to tell you, my God is going to supply because he is the controller of the oil. He's the controller of the bread. He's the controller of the elements. He is the controller. And so now this woman and her son are living under the blessing. The more blessings, blessing after blessing. But not only are they blessed. Oh, God, help me right now. I don't want just my wife and I to be blessed. That's stingy. I want my wife, my daughter, my son-in-law, my grandchildren, their children. I want it to be generational, that they are blessed because I'm blessed. I want, when they look into the vat, they see there's bread. When they see into the pot, there is oil. And I want them to look back and I want them to say, Pastor, or, well, they call me P. Diddy. My grandchildren do. Yeah. P. Diddy and Gigi. P. Diddy and Gigi were men, a man and a woman of God. And we're blessed because of them. Can I go ahead and tell you right now? I've got a 93-year-old mother that is praying. I guarantee you she is praying for this camp meeting. Jackie and I have been blessed because of a praying mama. But she's got a mama that is 88 years old, prayer warrior. Look here, she'll be praying 2-3 o'clock in the morning. She's not a morning, early riser, but she's a late prayer. I want to tell you, I guarantee you she's praying for this camp meeting right here. I am blessed because of my heritage. I'm blessed because of other people's prayers, other people's faithfulness. And I just want to tell you, Judah, let me pronounce blessing over you and your offspring. Go ahead and receive it. You made sacrifice to come up here. God keeps good records. There's going to come a time you're going to open up the vat and not know where it's coming from. But not only is it going to come up for you, but it's going to come up for your children, for your grandchildren. for those who are far off. I want to go ahead and speak to the region of northern New England right now and tell you there will come a time you're not going to know where it's going to come from, where it's going to happen, but you're going to open it up and God is going to supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Someone, if you agree with that, give God praise. Hallelujah. And so, the oil didn't fail, the bread didn't fail. And so, that's where most of the time we end the story. Thank the Lord, their stomach was taken care of. God controlled the ravens. He controlled the oil. He controlled the bread. He controlled the brook. But now, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say, it's now a different hour. This widow woman comes in. Her son has died. How many of you, if you'd been eating for quite some time off of the same meal, the same oil, you'd believe there's a God up in heaven? But some people aren't as easily convinced. This woman's son died and she came to Elijah. She said, "What have you done? You've come in here, my son has died, and you are calling all of my sins back to record." I need someone to hear that. While everything was going good, Elijah was cool. Elijah was great. Some of you pastors need to hear. There's a season where you're going to have springtime. Everything is wonderful. The people love you. You could get up in the pulpit and burp, and people would say, "Isn't he a wonderful burper?" Yeah. But when the season turns, you could get up and preach a masterpiece. And they would say, "All he's doing is showing off. Who does he think he is?" You're going to have seasons of springtime. You're going to have seasons of fall, seasons of winter, seasons that will change. When they change, how do you handle it? This woman came and said, "I don't understand what you've done to me. You came in here and now my son is dead and you're calling my sins to record." And Elijah said, "Bring me the boy." Elijah went and put the boy on the bed, prayed over him, and listen, understand this. The same God that controlled the oil, controlled the ravens. The same God that was in control over the little things. Now, it's a God that's getting ready to show up on death and life. Elijah raises the boy back up, brings the boy to his mother. And this is one of the craziest verses of scripture in the Bible. She said, "Now I know that you're a man of God. What you been eating all this time? What you? Now I know that you're a man of God." Just understand, sometime people are going to love you. Sometime they're not going to love you as much. But you just be consistent. Elijah never changed. He just said, "Whatever comes in front of me, God is able to handle it." If it's a famine, God's able to handle it. If the brook dries up, God is able to handle it. If I need a widow to sustain me, God's able to handle it. If death comes in front of me, I'm able to handle it. You are able to handle it with God helping you along the way. Now, I need you to understand, sometimes we need more than bread and oil. But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Sometimes we don't need meal and oil, but as Brother Kelly said last night, we need a boat payment. And God shows up. Oh, man, if I just stopped to testify, it'd be a book probably that big. If I just told you of times that God showed up in my wife, I do have to tell you one. And I'm not going to go into all the detail. That's way too long. But literally, I had two dimes. My wife and I, between us, had two dimes to our name. That's all we had. Look at that. I just pulled two dimes out of my pocket. That's all we had. The creditor was calling. I was pastoring at my first church, and you talking about in poverty, we were in poverty. I had lost my job. She had lost her job. I came home. She had been in a car accident and had major surgery. I come home. She's crying. The creditor is yelling at her on the phone, telling her, you better pay this. And so I called the creditor, and I said, sir, I'm not trying to steal from you. I'm not trying to get one over on you. And he said, well, you better pay me. And I said, sir, I've got two dimes in my pocket. And if that will help, I'll send the two dimes. He said, don't get smart with me. I said, I'm not getting smart with you. I'm telling you, I've got two dimes to my name. That's it. That's all I've got. And I was trying every way. And when I write the book, you can read it. But I just want to tell you, God turned the situation around. It was freaky how God did it. But God started supplying the need. Money started coming in. God started turning things around for me. We were able to pay every creditor off. God was able to show up and show off. But we must be consistent. When we're in our winter time, don't act different than when you're in your springtime. When you're in that, you know, that cold, and the leaves are off of the branches, and it's just desolate. You just go ahead and still have, my Lord God, have a time with the Lord. It doesn't feel as good in the winter time, but it's going to feel super good when the springtime rolls around. God keeps good records. Sometimes we need a health miracle. In the last week, I've had two people contact me. One of them had stage 4 cancer in the lungs. And the doctor gave very short time for her to live. She just called me and she said, I want to tell you, I am cancer free. Yeah. She said, I've got pictures. I've got proof. The doctor don't know how to explain it other than to say, here is the before and here's the after. Sometimes, my Lord God, sometimes we need more than bread and oil. We need a miracle. But Jesus shed his blood. The stripes on his back are still relevant for today. By his stripes we are healed. It still works. My wife had breast cancer. Three of the best doctors in Charleston, South Carolina had examined. She was already in the operating room. I'm sitting there in the waiting room. A nurse comes out and calls me by name and says, hurry, come. Scared me because she had only been back there a short period of time. I ran toward this nurse. I said, what is the problem? She said, just come with me. I said, lady, what is up? She said, your wife's okay. Just come with us. So they take me back in this area. And here are the x-rays hanging up just before the doctor was getting ready to do surgery. He said, I feel like I need to do one more x-ray. So he did the x-ray. Now, I'm not a doctor, but it was so plain to see. I looked on one x-ray and you could see this mass, a large mass. On the other one, it's clear. There's nothing there. The doctor comes into the room. Oh, God, help me. He said, look, a professional. It must have just popped. How many of you have heard of cancer popping? I just want to tell you, it didn't pop, but God popped in. And when God popped in, cancer had to pop out. Oh, God, hear me today. Oh, Lord, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Another testimony. Jackie, stand up. My wife and I wanted to have children. Couldn't have children for years. I went to a doctor and doctor said, look, if y'all want children, you just really need to adopt. I came out of my doctor's appointment and I told my wife that. And not one of the worst memories of my life is when those tears started coming down her face. She wanted a baby and it wasn't going to happen according to what man said. Our barrel was empty. Our oil was empty. She went into the grocery store. I said, God, I've got to have a word. Now, I'm not real big on Jackie, you can sit down. I'm not real big on just opening the Bible and whatever flops open is the word from God. But honestly, I said, God, I need a word. My Bible fell open and it was like the verse illuminated off of the page. And it was saying, she shall bring forth a child. It's an Old Testament scripture. And I honestly, I don't even remember the scripture. I just remember that it said someone was going to have a baby. My wife came back out and I said, I believe I got a word from God. She said, why? I said, this scripture. We read it. And I'm going to tell you, we received it. And God honored us and gave us a daughter. My daughter is my music minister to this day. Now, my daughter was told almost the same thing. You're not going to have children. But I just want to tell you, short story, when it looked like no way, now they got two. Amen. Sometimes we need more than bread. Sometimes we need peace of mind. Listen to this. I'm about to end. I was pastoring at my first church. A woman had stair-step children. And she had never worked a day in her life. I think half a day in her life. Her husband handled everything. He dropped dead out in the field. She had these children. I got over to her house. And when I did, she was down in the floor, in the bathroom, hugging the toilet. And all that little woman could get out was, oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, God, what am I going to do? I knelt down by her right there in that bathroom, and I said, her name was Elizabeth Elvis. And I said, Sister Elvis, you're full of the Holy Ghost. Right now, I want you to let the Holy Ghost minister to you. He said he would be a comforter. Sometimes we need more than bread and oil. I said, Sister Elvis, let the Holy Ghost minister to you. I prayed with her and she began to pray in tongues. In a little bit, she got up and they helped her to the bedroom and she laid down on the bed. In walks the doctor. One of her children had called the doctor. The doctor came in with a bag and he was getting ready to give her a shot to settle her down. He went into that bedroom and in a little bit he walked out. And he said, I don't know what you did, but whatever you did it good. I just want to tell you it wasn't what I did. Sometimes people need more than bread and oil. Listen, she was empty, but the Holy Ghost came in and he did the work that he had promised he would do. I will not leave you comfortless. Oh, my Lord God, do you hear me today? Sometimes we must have a little more. Now here in closing, Elijah had something special. When I was growing up, I watched Popeye the Sailor Man. Anyone else know who I'm talking about? Popeye would get himself in a mess, pop open some spinach, get that spinach in, and all of a sudden, he had power. Come on. Batman, he had his bat belt, his bat cave, and his bat car. As long as he wasn't Bruce Wayne, if he had his bat belt on and his bat mobile and he could get to his bat cave, boom, he was going to find a way to win. Superman, I grew up watching Superman. Superman would take off his glasses and no one knew it was Clark Kent once he took his glasses off. And then he'd need a phone booth and he would run into a phone booth and then he'd have a cape. If he had a phone booth and a cape, he could do great things. But I'm just here to tell you that you and I have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We've got the name that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. At the name of Jesus, demons flee. At the name of Jesus, cancers go. At the name of Jesus, we have that. Oh, but we don't just have the name of Jesus, but Jesus said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Lord God, someone needs to hear me. I don't know what the devil's going to come knocking at your door, trying to make happen at your house. But when he, someone's got to hear this. You got to hear this. I was a young guy. Heard a preacher say this and it's helped me through the years. He said, too often we answer the door. So he had my attention. Sure, I answered the door. Someone's knocking, I answer the door. He said, when the devil comes knocking at your door and he's telling you what he's going to do to you, what he's going to do to your family, what he's going to do to your finances, what he's going to do to your health, why don't you just step back and say, Jesus, would you come answer the door? And when Jesus answers the door, the devil goes, uh-oh, wrong address. Now, someone hear me. That might sound very simplistic, but someone's got to hear this. I have had, could not tell you how many times that the devil would whisper, this is what I'm going to do. This church member is mad. They're going to stir up trouble. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. And I would breathe a prayer. Sometimes I'd be in church and the devil would be telling me that. And I'd say, Jesus, there's someone at the door. Would you answer the door? I don't know what happens from there because I leave it to Jesus. But I want to tell you, he has never let the devil get through the door to continue to get to me. I'm here today to tell you, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. Would you stand with me? Well, that sounds real good. But you don't know what I'm going through. And I've been there. I've been there so many times. Preacher, preach a powerful message. People shouting, praising God. And I'd be going, that's good for them. But they don't know what I'm going through. I'm asking you to muster up the courage right now to say, I choose to believe God. Job put it this way, though he slay me, yet I'm going to serve him. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. Whatever happens, I'm just going to trust you. But my God shall supply all of my need. I had a different altar planned for this. But honestly, right now, what I'm feeling is where that you are standing. The Spirit of God has swept into this place. Something just happened in the supernatural right now. Here's what I want you to think. I challenged some people some years ago. It was the first time I ever did that. I said, I want you to think of something big that you need God to do for you. What is it? You don't have to call it out to me, but I want you to think, what is it? What is it that I really need God to work it out? Right now, I want you to get ready. He's not just a God of the small. He can take care of the meal. But he can take care of life and death and everything in between. I believe God has entered into this sanctuary and is ready to perform miracles. Oh, Lord God. I am not just saying this, congregation. I'm saying God has come in here. He's ready. Are you ready to receive it? Okay, here it is, God. This is what I need for you to do. This is what I'm asking you to do. Go ahead. Start petitioning God right now. Dear Lord, this is where I'm at. I believe you're going to supply my need. Dear Heavenly Father, right now, I pray that someone's faith would rise up. Oh Lord God, I have felt the Holy Ghost sweep into this room. Dear Lord God, in the name above all names, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody right now, just say, I receive my healing. I receive my financial transformation. I receive God's provision. I receive. It's mine. My God. My God. I've come in empty, but I'm going to leave full. In Jesus' mighty and holy name. I want you to raise your hand right now. I receive. Go ahead. Right now, I receive in Jesus' name. Preacher, I don't feel anything. Look here. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, is what Brother Culpepper said. Listen to that. Right now, let your faith go up.